There's nothing more we're more committed to in Indiana than the better education of our kids, particularly for the high-tech world of this century. And without our noticing it, Indiana has become the leader in what is called the new tech model. About one in four American schools now using this model is in Indiana, and we intend its rapid expansion over the next few years. I would like to see us become the state of new tech education, math and science-based, technology-based, collaborative, project-based, as they say, learning, a new way to learn and a new emphasis on the skills that are most relevant to our economic future. And so we were very thrilled when the new tech, the national leadership, asked to come to Indiana to make a national announcement. They chose us because we've been a couple steps ahead of other states in this regard. And so it's my pleasure to introduce Chad Wick of KnowledgeWorks, along with Susan Schilling of the New Tech Foundation, to make a joint announcement of enormous interest to us here in Indiana, but really to everybody committed to the better education of our kids nationally.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning. I'm Chad Wick, president of KnowledgeWorks Foundation, and we did choose Indiana because you are a national leader, and we are an organization that knows a lot about high school. Just quickly for context here, we're a, you might say, a sister organization to Lumina. We were created in the same way at the same time. Our choice was to focus more on the K-12 area, particularly at the high school level. And so we've been working on high schools at a big level for about 7 or 8 years. We know a lot about high school. We know a lot about taking big problem high schools and trying to make them better. And we decided that that old world of trying to fix old problem high schools is a big challenge for this country. But we needed to start looking for where we could see several things happening. One, that real learning was happening, and the learning was rigorous, that real effective teaching was happening, and that the focus was around STEM, that that students who were graduating from these high schools could really be competent and actually pursue successfully in post-secondary STEM-related areas. And we looked around this country for more than a year where we could find these things that would come together. And lo and behold, right here in the great state of Indiana, we're based in Ohio. It didn't take us making many trips all around. We came right here because of the commitment you were making to New Tech and really got interested. So I have to say, David Shane, thank you, and Dave Dressler from Cell, and Nancy Sutton, who really helped make us aware of why in Indiana had taken such a deep look at this and how you saw it not only addressing the needs of our students as a learning process, frankly, that is student-centered. It cares about what the students need. It helps the student really get their head and heart connected through a range of projects that they do as they go through high school. But it also captured the interest of economic development leaders. And there was nothing to me like, a story from Deb Howell from Rochester, when she was telling about the kids. She was getting complaints from the football coach because the kids were wanting to stay in school longer to do their projects or being late for football practice. That really resonated with me. Scott Ferguson, the mayor of Shelbyville, and Stu Kaplan from Shelby County, a business leader there. These were economic development leaders talking about the well-being of their community, and we think that is going to be a primary driver of the kind of decisions we need to make about education, looking for solutions that really produce kids who are ready to add to the economic value of their communities. And that's the thing we see in New Tech. We deeply applaud Indiana for your leadership, and that's why we came here to announce a $10 million grant to the New Tech National Organization, because they were being pushed at their capacity level and needed this support so they, in fact, could strengthen their organization to support the growth of all the schools here in Indiana and a growing number now around the nation. So, Governor, we thank you for your leadership and that of Indiana for really getting out in front of the pack, very literally. We know of no state who has really taken the time to think about what the world of learning means, what the world of a student-centered system means like Indiana, and you're doing it through the use of the New Tech model, and we applaud you. We're here to say that we hope that the New Tech organization and other states can learn from what you're doing, and so thank you very much.
I'm Susan Schilling from the New Tech Foundation. I represent the work of the New Tech Network, which is currently 40 schools across the country. About a third are in rural environments, a third in suburban, and a third in the urban world. So we have proven our scalability of the concepts, and we also have on-the-ground research that demonstrates that we're successful at not only creating students who are interested in learning, but are successful with that and go on to higher education and pursue careers and courses of study in the STEM field. So we have that data at a national level, and we're starting to build that at the Indiana level. We are delighted that KnowledgeWorks Foundation has decided to invest in us and our capacity to scale. We need all the help we can get. So we have not only their infusion of cash to help us, but we also have their knowledge and their wisdom about how do you do this in a national way at a national level with the high school world. So we're very pleased with the announcement and the strategic partnership that they represent for us. And we're here because Indiana, as Chad said, is pointing the way for how do you do a statewide scale-up of a whole different way of teaching and learning at the high school level. We have great partners across the state. There are six schools that are up and running. Two of the superintendents are here, or the Director of Secondary Education, Bill Jensen from Columbus, and Deb Howe from Rochester. They both have shown the way for how you do this in a massive way with a community approach, and I'm sure you're more than interested in hearing their perspectives, so I'm going to turn it over to Q&A.
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, for any uninitiated, you're STEM, science, technology, math. And also, I should say, in addition to Deb and Bill, we have Dave Dressler from the CEL organization, which is also committed to the advance of these educational goals in our state. Tony Bennett's in D.C. or would be here to lend his own enthusiastic voice. Our new superintendent and I have talked at great length about this proven success story, he's as excited as I am about rolling it out not to 10, but to dozens, and ultimately, I hope, to every Indiana school. So again, we could be the first state of new technology education. So questions, we have practitioners as well as those who gave birth to this model nationally.
I want to clarify this. How many do we already have this type of school? How many more will this enable us to open?
It'll be 10 this fall. And this grant is given from one national organization to another, but we intend, and you might stand by for additional announcements about what Indiana will be doing to leap from 10 to some multiple of that.
How many do we have right now?
10 as of this coming fall. 6 right now, right? 4 coming, and another dozen or more in the early exploratory research phase. Well, let me let an expert, Susan and or Deb.
You want to talk about from the practitioners?
That's fine. Thank you. New Tech is a project-based environment in a very high-tech classroom that is working collaboratively. So the students are engaged in projects, and they're doing a lot of research, and they're working together to come to fruition with these projects, and then they present them to expert panels from the community. So we are engaging students in technology skills, as well as the 21st century skills of communication, work ethic, citizenship.
What kind of project?
Sure. They might be in a chemistry class. For instance, I sat on a panel to watch students present on nuclear fission and how we might have nuclear power throughout the United States. And not only did they have to engage in the chemistry of that, but they had to include the political, the financial, the health and safety aspects as well. So you're integrating everything that we would want our kids to begin thinking on a problem-solving basis into all content areas and make it very relevant to their lives. So you're seeing a very high level of engagement with students.
So you're talking about a panel. It sounds sort of like maybe a thesis or a dissertation board. Would it be similar to that?
You're very right, because there is a lot of research that's engaged with it, and then the students have to sit there, and when they present to the panel, they're also answering questions off the cuff. So it would be very much like a master's thesis, yes.
Are these new schools or old schools that have been changed? Or?
Rochester was one of the first schools in the country that went wall to wall, so it was a total school conversion in a rural environment. So it's not a new school. When you're talking about schools that are urban, like Columbus, and I'll let Bill talk a little bit about his, it's more of a very large school district where they have a magnet school. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, Columbus has two large high schools. What we've done is kind of create a option for students and parents in a smaller magnet school type program. So, you know, I want to go back to the question that was asked earlier about the difference. I think when you walk in and you see a new tech school, one of the first things you're going to notice is the engagement of students. Because one of the things that I think is real powerful is about how our students in that program can articulate their own learning and talk about projects. And their projects is different than doing just a project at the end of an activity. Oftentimes, you know, a lot of schools say, well, we do projects. You know, and what happens a lot of times is those projects are done at the end of a lot of, you know, learn a bunch of skills and concepts, and all of a sudden then you do accumulating project. At New Tech, what happens is you start off in the project from the very beginning. Students are faced with a real-world problem or project that may be community-based. And then what they do is they learn those skills and concepts in order to solve that project or solve that problem. And one of the things our students will say is, we don't have to ask why. We understand why, because why we have to learn these skills and concepts in order to do this project or problem. And that's the big difference you'll see.
Let me use these last two questions to tell you why, give you a couple reasons why I'm so excited about this. First of all, up to this point, it has been installed very quickly, by the way, and affordably in existing schools. Now, I believe one of our oncoming schools in Monroe County is a new school. So it could be either one. But at this point, these have been conversions of existing schools. And it doesn't take forever, and it doesn't cost a fortune. Rochester, Deb was reminiscing, was in business in less than 2 years from the commitment to do it. Secondly, when one studies the excellent results that New Tech is getting, your eye is first drawn to the high percentage of kids going on to college, succeeding in life, mastering math and science and the more important disciplines, but also almost unanimously, the young people and their families who've been through a New Tech school said they would do it again. 96% is the number that sticks in my mind, and it's a very emphatic endorsement that the kids do embrace, as Bill just said, and become engaged in the process of education.
So what is the money going to be used for, and how much of that money did it end up being?
Well, the grant that KnowledgeWorks is making to New Tech, A big part of it is to build capacity for this web-based portal where all these projects go. So what's fascinating and so encouraging and cost-effective is that these aren't one-off schools where kids are doing, on average, through their 4 years, about 240 projects. This isn't like just, you know, one a year or something. And all these projects are co-created among the students and the teachers, and they go in this national library, you might say, and then a teacher in Columbus could access a project that was developed down in near Dallas, Texas, for instance, and they can add to it. It's like a big wiki, so to speak. But anyway, this kind of web portal needs a lot of capacity because what kids create has got a very high bandwidth need, and so this is a big technology need, but it's a big opportunity that creates and shares knowledge throughout the country, and Indiana is going to be on the forefront of supplying the nation with a lot of these projects and this knowledge. So that's an example of how our funds will have indirectly help Indiana schools get off the ground. And about 40, yes. Mm-hmm. And many on the drawing board. Texas is a major commitment to this. Obviously California, but then there North Carolina, New Orleans is making a major commitment. But nobody like Indiana has seen it as strategically as. Absolutely all students.
Well, I can talk about that. This is a model that's beneficial to all students. And when we began rolling this out, we had the Gifted Education Resource Institute from Purdue come and talk to us about how beneficial this was for the very high academically talented, as well as those students who we would consider possibly at risk, because the instructional model within the new tech framework is all very research-based. And it's everything that we've been talking about for the last 20 years integrated into one model with a very robust professional development structure. So that's why it's very successful.
Amateurs should be careful, but I'm going to venture here to say this is much more important to those kids who come to school with less talent and less of a head start academically. They're the ones who most need somehow to achieve more academically, particularly in the technology-based and math and science curriculums. And what I've seen in New Tech is that it serves those kids very, very well and may give them a foundation and a chance to get on to college that they would not have had otherwise.
NIST-based the transition from NIST to college is a smooth one? It's so different.
Right. I'm full of stories because I get to go around and talk to all of the different schools that start. And one of my favorite stories was that very question asked to a panel of alumni of New Tech students. How did this prepare you for a college experience where you're sitting in a room with 150 kids listening to an assistant professor? And he said, oh, it prepared me totally, because New Tech taught me that I am responsible for my own learning. And whatever environment I'm put in, I need to figure out how to make it work for me. And so what he did is he paid attention to who else was paying attention. And then he went and introduced himself to them, and they formed a study group, and they're the ones that got the A's.
I love it.
Yes, quite possibly. Tony Bennett and I have spent a lot of time talking about it. And let me just say that if we can find an effective way, and I think we can, to make a leap forward, not simply growing rapidly as we are now, but to leap forward, to become ideally the state of New Tech schools and education, the first one in America, I can't think of a better aspiration. And so, yes, this is something we are actively researching, and you should stand by for more details.
And so is money necessary to get these schools started or converted, and mm-hmm. then can they exist within the existing funding stream once they're converted?
Great questions. I said it's affordable. At retail, which we've been operating on so far, about $500,000, and it's been split between grant money that the state helps secure and local funds. There has to be a local enthusiasm, and so that probably should remain a feature. But we would expect that cost per school to come down. It goes for new technology and the training of staff to teach in a brand new way. But it's affordable now. It's going to be more affordable, I think, in the future, and we're going to work with the New Tech Foundation on that. But I like the fact. Let me just say that no one knows what the ideal or perfect model for helping our kids achieve more is, but here we have something in being that works, proven results. It's a huge step beyond what we have been doing. It is affordable, and it can be moved into schools very quickly. And for all those reasons, I believe Indiana wants to be the leader, and we're going to do all we can to make that possible. Never, things never happen soon enough to suit us, but I see no reason not to set as a goal. It's becoming as near universal as possible while I'm still in this job, and we'll see how far we can get, how fast, but that looked like a reasonable goal to me. Yeah, we can give you all that. But as was mentioned, they range from small towns like Rochester to inner cities as at Tech, mid-sized towns like Columbus, suburbs like Decatur, and it's working in every single context, which is really important. And another reason that I have this mental image that we could take it everywhere in our state.
Oftentimes, the classes are interdisciplinary in nature. For instance, one of our classes is called Global Science Perspectives, which is a combination of independent science research, literature, English, and then world civilization. So again, what they do is they'll get an entry document for a project, which is, for instance, one of theirs was on world hunger, and they were to convene a global world hunger forum to address the issue of global hunger. And so they work through this project then. So then they divide up in teams. They set up a contract with themselves, set up benchmarks for that project. And it really is heavy in project management, again, which is one of the skills that not only colleges want, but our employers want, students who have those project management skills. So then they work through a project management, setting those benchmarks. If they run into a difficulty with a particular concept, they may ask for a workshop with their teacher. Excuse me. And their teachers actually work as facilitators. In fact, at our school, their teachers are called facilitators. And so, again, so they may set up a workshop. You know, students go to this workshop, learn the skills. Again, so it's very much like what you'd find in a 21st century workplace. And, again, what our colleges and universities are asking for our students to be able to do. Think independently, be able to go to ask for help, again, knowing what they need. You know, one of the first things to do then is create a list, a know and needs to know list. Okay, here's the things we know about this issue. Here are the things we need to know about this issue. And then establish some essential questions and work from there. So that's kind of what a typical project will look like. So they'll have maybe in that class, they'll have one project going anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. Again, and they have several classes. They're, again, mostly are interdisciplinary. And so they'll probably have maybe 3 or 4 projects going at one time.
Bill, let me ask, because somebody may be thinking this. Do we know that young people moving through this model achieve content mastery while they're doing it? Could someone float through all these projects and come out the other end not knowing chemistry or physics or math?
No, because, again, in order to do these projects, you have to learn the skills and concepts. Again, and it goes back to that question of, we don't have students asking, why do I need to know this? I mean, they're going to the teacher saying, I need to know this, or how do I solve this? How do I work this problem, or what do I need to do in order to get to this point? And so, again, it's fascinating because it really changes that role between the teachers and students, unlike, you know, much of us in a traditional environment where the teacher was that purveyor of giving all the information to students and the students kind of just fed that back. Now the teachers set up this problem, facilitate the learning, kind of coach students through this learning process of all these skills and concepts they need to know in order to solve this problem or to do this project.
If I could just add to that a little bit. So that really speaks to the professional development that we put forward as the work that we do with the schools. And we can't do it without partners in the state who can do it more than we can do by flying people in or centering someone here in Indiana. So this speaks to the role of CEL and the Center for Excellence in Leadership and Learning. Did I get it right? All right. So they basically are our partners within the state. And they help us figure out who are the teachers, who are the early adopters. We bring all of the teachers in the network together so that they can learn from each other. We break down a lot of the traditional silos that schools have about subject area expertise and department expertise by bringing together the practitioners who are actually doing this in the classroom. and they share that together in Indiana around the Indiana standards, because we start with content standards. That's the first place that teachers need to go when they start to build their projects. And then we end with assessment of how they're doing on not just the academic measures of that project, but also all of the other measures around collaboration, teamwork, work ethic, all the things that the school has decided are important outcomes for the school, for the students to be able to demonstrate in order to be good citizens for the for their futures.
Let me just make one more point. We're not out to put Dave and sell out of business, but New Tech now has a new partner in the state of Indiana. That's the Indiana Department of Education, which I expect, and I know Tony intends, will be restructuring at least a part of itself to promote and enable the rapid expansion of this model. Let me just observe that we spend a fortune in this state on what is called professional development. A lot of teachers that I visit with don't find it very useful at all, but I can see before long a lot of offerings in professional development, things we're paying for already, being oriented to how one teaches or facilitates in this new world.
And I can add to that, Governor, Dave Dressler from CEL. We don't want to be put out of business, but we look forward to a partnership with the Department of Education and Tony Bennett, new state superintendent. Our job at CEL has been to administer a grant, National Governors Association grant, that Governor Daniels got a few years back, which really started the ball rolling for new tech development in Indiana. And our job is to cultivate interest in Indiana communities for this model, and then to network all the schools. The schools, the six schools that exist today, plus the four schools that are coming online in the fall, are all a part of a network. And we gather together, we solve common problems, we have a common evaluation, we have policies that we take to the State Board of Education where we need waivers. And so the power of the New Tech Network in Indiana includes all the schools coming together to advance this model, and it's working well. And we look forward to joining with the Department of Education in that effort.
Thanks a lot. Thank you all very, very much.
You had addressed the economic numbers that came out by. What do you see these unemployment numbers?
Well, they're very distressing, of course. But that's been the case for several months in a row, and it's the case in every state in America. And we have a very, very serious national, even worldwide problem, which is hit with special impact and suddenness in our state, which has gone from what the economists refer to as full employment to nearly record levels of unemployment in well under a year. So we have a huge stake in the success of a national recovery plan, and we very much we wish the very best to those, president and others, who are trying their best, I know, to craft one. We're looking for cuts every single day, and that was true before this happened. But obviously, the tighter things get, the harder we look.
Democrats say this reemphasizes the need to spend part of the surplus on job creation.
Well, they're 100% wrong. This reemphasizes the need to guard those reserves so we are not forced to slash education and public safety, which is happening in dozens of states around the country. There won't be any need for that here, but until someone can show us persuasively how long this is going to last and how deep this recession is going to get, you know, we're simply not going to do that. This is the thinking and the people who spent the state broke in good times. Just think what they will do now if we don't restrain their unwise impulses. Yes. Well, don't forget that there are our Medicaid budget has been, shall we say, cut for us by the adjustment of our percentage contribution. And so that provides some additional protection. That's about what we know for this year. Okay, thanks.